Welcome back, Dynasty lovers, to another episode of the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Adrian, with my co-host,
Scott Martin.
Well, guys, are you ready for the third out of four shows of wide receivers in the 2023 NFL draft class? How about you, Scotty?
You know, we've been beating up on this show a little bit, but I don't think it's not as top heavy, but there's some good prospects here that I really like that I'm going to definitely be drafting in the late second, the third rounds for sure. This is the sleeper show, I think. I think there's some more sleepers on this show.
I'm interested to see how many listens and how many views we get on this show.
Yeah, this one's not going to be as good.
Especially if you listen to the second show where we sort of may have poo-pooed it a little bit as far as a group here. But I still think it's a good group. Yep. I unfortunately don't have any Tennessee Volunteers to comp any of these receivers to for Scotty. I know he likes that. But as far as the group, what we have for you today is we have Charlie Jones out of Purdue, right?
Yep.
Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma. Jonathan Mingo out of Ole Miss. Jalen Moreno Cropper out of Fresno State. Puka Nacua out of BYU. Trey Palmer out of Nebraska. A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest. And Jaden Reed out of Michigan State then. So I had one guy that I came away very surprised liking in this group. And we'll get to him. And I'm interested to share my thoughts on him then. So, let's start off with Charlie Jones out of Purdue. So 5'11", 175, 9-inch hands then. Ran a 4.43 40, 36.5-inch vertical, 1.51-inch 10-yard split. Had a 10-foot-4-inch broad jump.
So 79th percentile 40, 70th percentile vertical jump, 72nd percentile broad jump at his pro day, 6.8 4.3 cone, 76th percentile.
Yeah, and he initially was at Buffalo, then he was at Iowa, and then ultimately ended up in Purdue.
Third time's a charm,
and he went off. Yep. He went off in 2022. Mm-hmm. Minimal production the other years, or okay production two of those years, but had 110 catches, 1,361 yards, and 12 touchdowns. So pretty impressive numbers there for Charlie Jones then. So I guess I'll start off with Charlie Jones and let you go. We'll go from there then.
Okay.
I think he's a pretty good release then. He lines up in the slot and outside then, can play both actually pretty well then. I think his best asset is actually when he goes against zone then. So he's mm-hmm. very adept at finding the holes in the zone then, gives his quarterback a very good target then. He's more of a short out route kind of guy then, limited separation when he gets more downfield then. I think over the middle he has pretty good concentration and decent contested catch, but he's not really a jump ball kind of guy then. He has very strong hands then, so probably some of the best in the class then. So only a 3% drop rate then for this past year at 20 in Purdue then. And I think he's good ball tracking, good body control. He's not really a physical guy. He's not going to offer you super abilities after the catch then. And I think his speed is decent, and he has fairly good quickness then too. The biggest knock I have for him is he's a very old prospect. So he's going to turn 25 in the NFL season, upcoming season then. So right now he's 24.5 years old then. Like I said, I like what I see with him. I wanted to give him – I gave him a decent score at 68 then. But I think he's going to be one of those guys that is almost like a Scotty Miller type guy. He's not really – he's not as fast as Scotty Miller. He's not kind of that type of player then. But I think he's going to be like that fourth receiver on the team then. Mm-hmm. He's going to get opportunities at times then. But with his age and with like what I'm seeing on film here, he's probably not a guy I'm going to be drafting, I don't think, just because of those two things then. But like I said, I don't want a 25-year-old guy on my bench that I'm not ever going to play then in his rookie year. But like I said, I think he's a baller. I think he's a very good college football player. He showed that this past year, but just not a guy that I'm overly interested in.
Score?
I don't know if you have anything different or
what's
whatnot.
Your score?
68.
Okay. 69, and I have a completely different opinion.
Completely different.
So he has stuff that translates 100%.
Well, yeah, I agree.
Immediate production type ability.
But he's not a fantasy football asset. Well, he's an NFL asset.
So you know who he reminds me of? A less athletic Cooper Kupp. Like he gives me those vibes. So here's why.
Cooper Kupp was older, so
here's why. Well, there you go. Good comp.
Not 25, but
yeah. So the release off the number one thing is he played 74% of his snaps out wide. He is not an out wide receiver. He needs to be in the slot because that is where he is nasty good. And so he, like you said, the release was pretty good for somebody that plays outside. That's sort of smaller. He has okay feet. And his speed off the ball is okay. He has maybe a few moves, but like he's obviously going to get bodied up by, you know, your physical corners. But you better get your hands on him then, because if he's in the slot and he gets sort of that free release and can operate in the middle, he is going to destroy zone coverage. Like, he destroys operating in the middle. He is so super crafty and sudden as a route runner. He's just so good underneath. And he has great, excellent, strong hands. Only, like you said, 3 drops on 154 targets, 110 catches. And these aren't like screen passes or whatever. Yeah, they give him some of that, but he's catching them in the middle of the field and he is just being dynamite. 12 touchdowns. I mean, super, super good. Contested catch percentage, 22 out of 42. And those are earned contested catches in the middle of the field with people on you. Just routinely making catches, that stuff translates. That's the stuff that translates the most to the NFL.
But don't you worry about with all those contested catches, his separation?
He separates. I mean, I thought he separated okay. I thought he was above average. I thought he was pretty good.
44 contested catches or 42.
That's because that's the only thing he does is he just operates in the middle of the field. Yeah. So, I mean, 154 targets, a quarter of them are you know, contested?
Yeah, that's post Jalen Hyatt were probably
but he only dropped 3 balls. So I mean, he caught 110 of those targets. So that's pretty good. I thought ball tracking was, you know, he's pretty good at the catch point, sort of identifying it despite his limited catch radius. The thing that surprised me, and it's probably because where he's catching the ball most of the time, he's not catching the ball with the ability to sort of break tackles or because he's not going to do that, but you don't really get to see much elusiveness. He is a legit, really, really good possession receiver. You know, he ran a 4.43. That's really good speed. So there's definitely some buildup, but that makes it interesting. If you could put him in the slot and give him some free releases where he can attack also down the field, maybe, and see if he can beat some safeties, that'd be interesting, especially with his ability to operate underneath pretty good. So he's a 69 for me, and he came in at, you know, that's number, I think about 18. I'm definitely going to take him in the like fourth, fifth round flyer if he gets a spot. Because I think he'll be drafted in like the fifth, sixth, seventh round. But he could go to a nice little spot where they could use the slot guys. It's just not a good draft for him. It's just not a good draft because there's so many good slot guys. But he has some special stuff that I see him being a really good waiver target and sleeper in this class. So be interesting.
I think he's an excellent college football player. He could be a valuable asset for an NFL team.
Yep, and you know what? So is Cooper Kupp, but there is not a better route runner and craftier route runner than him in the league. And that stuff translates. I got some Kupp vibes. He's not near as good as Kupp.
So you better draft him the first round then.
No, but
if I traded that 1-6, you're drafting the first round, right?
he gave me some vibes to take a flyer on. So
yeah, I'm okay with a flyer if he gets the right spot. Then
that's what I'm saying. I'm like,
but at 25, like
fourth, fifth round flyer, probably a great waiver wire ad.
Yeah, I'll stick him on a 22.
Mm-hmm.
I would have him a lot higher on my board then, but I think the 25 just sort of scares me.
Reminds me of David Bell, somewhat.
Yeah,
a little bit of David Bell.
Oh, I love David Bell. I had to go to the Browns. But let's move on to the next guy here. So Marvin Mims out of Oklahoma, younger guy, played 3 years in the at Oklahoma then, but came in at 5'11", 183, 9-inch hands then, and a 4.38 40, 39.5-inch vertical, 5.5-second 10-yard split, had a 10-foot, 9-inch broad jump, and a 6.9-second 3-cone drill.
So 90th percentile 40, 66th percentile 3-cone, 92nd percentile vertical jump, 89th percentile broad jump.
And as far as production was productive all 3 years then, had best year in 2022, 54 catches, 1,083 yards, 20.1 yards per catch, and 6 touchdowns. So what do you think of Marvin Mims?
It is time to make Mims great again. It's time to put the Mims name back on the map.
I'm scared of Mims.
I can understand being gun shy. They're not related, thank God. I don't think. But I really, really, really like Marvin Mims. He is one of the, he is more complete than most of the slot receivers. And I think he has, with his size, I think he could potentially play outside some. So I think he's more than just a good slot receiver. And they used him out wide about 70% of the time at Oklahoma, and he operated very, very well. He came in at, so he got a 75, which puts him at number 7 on the board pretty solidly. So he'll probably, I like him good enough with the draft capital to put him in sort of that sort of early third tier or late second tier of guys. I love the release off the line, really good speed. He's got good moves and he is physical to beat the press, And so that's why I think he can operate outside. He already showed he can do it. His route running is very good. There are times he's not as super precise as I wanted him to be. And he doesn't like run a lot of bully routes. But he creates above average separation. And I thought he was fairly good there. He just needs some more development sort of in that regard. As far as, you know, variety of routes and things, hands are great. Super special catches. You watch on some of these, highlight films and stuff, I'm sure you're going to see some nasty stuff, but only 4 drops on 87 targets. So really good contested catch percentage for a guy that's looks like a slot receiver. As far as size, 6 out of 11 contested catches in 2022, and then 5 out of 11 in 2021. So definitely above average, and he shows elite, excellent ball skills. His deep targets, he was 34 out of 66 catches per Pro Football Focus on his deep targets. Like, his highlight film is beautiful. Like, he has an excellent highlight film. Body control in the air, catching balls outside of his frame, all very good. He gets after it blocking. Like, he really gets after it blocking, and he holds his own. Above average physicality. He can add some after the catch, sort of mostly with his speed. You don't see him be super elusive, but he has at least a little bit of wiggle. But that top end film speed, like, he's running away from everybody. He got a 10 for me. Like, I definitely saw 4.38 or faster. Thought he was super fast. And then the quickness acceleration, it was above average to good, but he's faster than quick. But man, I love Marvin Mims. I don't know if other people have him up this high or where he's mocked in these NFL drafts, but I think he's going to be a surprise pick, late second round, third round. And like I said, he's a very solid second round pick for me, early second round, maybe. I like Marvin Mims.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz about him recently right now that's going around to
NFL circles. So. Good.
Particularly the dynasty community, things I'm seeing then.
Okay.
I think because he has more completeness than a lot of these other slot receivers, then he's not the – he's taller with the 5'11", but still has a slight build at 183 then. I knocked him a lot from a contested catch and physicality standpoint. I didn't see him as a great blocker. I thought he got tackled very easily then. So I'm not sure what different games we watched.
Well, he
there.
Didn't break. He didn't break a lot of tackles, but I mean, he's chippy. I didn't
see him get out of it at the blocking standpoint, but that's lower on the importance here. And contested catch, I thought he wasn't very good in that regard. I thought he didn't go after the ball. I thought that
dude,
the defenders
go watch
play the ball.
A highlight film and then bump your scores up.
Well,
go
watch a highlight film. Films. If I watched highlight films, everybody would get wonderful
scores. Yeah, but that when you go watch that highlight film, you're going to see the games that you probably didn't get to watch.
He didn't look like he went after, like didn't attack the ball like you see with some of these guys then. So I bumped him down there. I think, and you said he had a good catch radius. I thought he short-armed a little bit at times then. So I bumped him down on that. I still gave him a decent score for hands.
For a slot guy, like I'm not comparing him to Quentin Johnston or Rashi Rice or somebody that's got some huge catch radius, but for a slot guy at his size, his catch radius is plus.
Yeah. And like I said, I agree with you that his speed is elite then. I gave him actually a 9 for acceleration then too. I think he gets up to speed very, 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 very fast then. And routes, route running separation, I think he's, lines up multiple slot spots then, good separation, so I gave him good scores there as well. I gave him a 72, so I had him in that third bubble then. But definitely if he gets, like, based on the talk now, there's some people that are saying he's going to be a second-round pick then in the NFL draft. If he gets that, he's going to shoot up the boards then. He's going to be he could be at the end of the first round, like early second-round fantasy pick then, based on what you're saying then too.
Yep. I take it back. I need to bump up his quickness. I gave him like 5, so I need to bump that up.
Give him a 5.
I'm giving him a 76. 76 it is. So he's still
he's
in the same
going
spot.
Up the board then.
Still in the same spot, but I feel like I cheated him a little there. But
yeah, but
I love Marvin Mims, dude.
So what did you say his percentages were for the contested catches then?
Yeah. So 6 out of 11, 54.5% in 2022. And then in 2021, 5 out of 11, 45.5%. So above average, especially for someone that's, you know, sort of his size. And the deep targets, the deep ball targets were 34 out of 66. So that's, again, excellent. That's
well,
like
he's wide open.
Yeah.
He's
that's like him with Jalen. That's Jalen Hyatt kind of stuff right there.
Yeah. So I'll bump his contested catches up to a 6 then.
Oh, my goodness. He definitely belongs at a 6 at least.
Yeah, so I'll give him 73.
Just based on numbers alone. Yeah.
So he's for in tops in the tier 3 bubble then.
Yep. But, I mean that's about where I have him too.
If he gets great draft capital, he can go up to that tier 1 with that big lob, and somebody else can fall down based on what they get.
Yep. Well, it's just amazing to me. Our scores are similar on some of these guys, and we have different, maybe a little bit different opinions. But well, love them. Like I love them and you hate them, or like it's just kind of.
I was expecting,
I feel like
more,
we're seeing pretty similar.
I was expecting more based on the hype I was hearing, so I think that was what.
I honestly don't listen to anyone else's opinion, so I kind of just I don't know about that.
So moving on to our next guy, so Jonathan Mingo out of Ole Miss, then so 6'2", 220 pounds. 10 3/8-inch hands then, ran a 4.46 40, 39.5-inch vertical, had a 10-foot 9-inch broad jump, and a 1.54-second 10-yard split.
So 69th percentile 40, 92nd percentile vertical jump, 89th percentile broad jump, at his pro day had a 7.02 3-cone, 43rd percentile.
And had okay production in 2020 and 2021 then, but in 2022 had 51 catches, 861 yards, 16.9 yards per catch, and 5 touchdowns. So did you start Mims?
I want you to start Mingo.
Okay. So Mingo is my guy that I came away very pleasantly surprised about. I heard nothing about him from anybody then. And watching him, early on you saw him playing in the slot a lot, and I wasn't overly impressed.
Makes no sense to put him in the slot.
Yeah, I wasn't impressed at all with him in the slot. I thought it was just average. But then you look at the Vanderbilt game where he went absolutely nuts. They had him outside the whole game.
Well,
and
like
I'm just thinking,
the year before,
why
did
he have this guy outside the whole season?
Mm-hmm. The year before, he played 88% of his snaps outside. Why would you put him in the 50-50? Why would you do, other than just trying to get the ball in his hands, I guess. But yeah. I don't know. They limited his ability.
And he's a big, strong guy. So, and I thought he had actually, just going down the checklist here then. So I thought he had very good footwork then. I do see I didn't see any corners actually getting up on him and trying to jam him. I think they're all scared when he's a pretty fast guy. He's a big dude then, 220. And I thought he did a lot of close to line routes then, but like I said, when he plays outside, I thought he was a very good route runner. He changes speed very well then too. He has strong hands then too. So only 5.9% drop rate then. I saw one easy drop, but overall that was just infrequent. Very, very solid player then. I didn't see much as far as contested catches, so I didn't give him a great score there. I gave him a 6 then. I don't know if you had the Pro Football Focus numbers on you, but ball tracking, he's a very good ball tracker. He's always in control. He's a very smooth, well-crafted, well-built guy then. And physicality, so he's a strong, muscular build. I think he's the best blocker in the class then. Like, it's
well, I don't know about that. There's somebody with that Tennessee logo on their chest might be the best blocker in the class.
I think this guy was a better blocker than Tillman, but Tillman's definitely a good blocker then as well. And then yards after catch, he's gonna break tackles. So he can shake the first guy and then sort of just run through arm tackles and get that extra yards then on top of things. And like I said, he got a lot of short passes, but he still had 16.9 yards per catch then. And then I think he has more build-up speed. I don't think he's super fast then, but I think his acceleration quickness is okay then, so it's enough. And I gave him a 75 then, so I really like what I saw here. And you could almost give him – I'm not saying he's this guy, but you could give him this comp because they're at the same school. But is he like an A.J. Brown where they –
No.
Didn't use him?
Absolutely not.
A lot?
Don't even bring that up. That's not, he's not even.
Well, did AJ Brown have extraordinary stats, or was he wasn't thought of as the top receiver in that class either then?
He was
a bigger, stronger guy.
Yeah.
And I'm saying this, the build, the stronger guy, I think his better days are in the pros than it's going to be in college for him. And I just think he wasn't utilize effectively and utilize enough then in college then. But I really like Jonathan Mingo, and he's high on my board. He's in that, I actually have him in that group of seven guys in that second tier then. And I'm interested, very interested to see where his draft capital is. If he gets great draft capital, his sky's the limit for this guy. I think he's a very good player. I'm excited to see him in the next level then. I really like Jonathan Mingo, and he's sort of my sleeper as far as this draft class that goes then.
So I guess I just don't feel like I like him as much as my score says.
would you give him a start with a score?
Yeah, so
score.
73.
Was there that,
and he's like, number.
We're the opposite. Like you love Mims.
11.
And I didn't naturally love Mims, but came around a similar score, and it's the opposite for this guy.
They're like they're pretty close on the score, but that's why you do these scores. It really humbles you and helps you put things in a perspective. So I do think he's absolutely going to be a better pro than he was college football player. He's going to get way more volume, and he's going to get a lot more production. So I feel like I saw pretty much the same thing you did. So the things that he's, you know, the release, he's got very good speed off the ball. He's got okay feet. He doesn't show a lot of moves. Maybe that's why they tried to move him inside. People were pressing him more. Because at the Senior Bowl, when I watched some of those, you know, the clips of him running routes and stuff, it looked like he got bodied up some. I'd have to look back and see what corners were covering him and stuff, if that made the difference. But I felt like maybe that's why they tried to move him in some. But his route running is the biggest thing that he's got to improve. If he could be a better route runner, you're talking about a more pretty complete wide receiver, because his route tree's very undefined. Like, you see basically him run crosses, hitches, and sort of seam, and sort of screen, you're just getting the ball in his hands on screens.
Well, that's 90% of the guys we're scouting.
Well, yeah, and that's what Ole Miss's offense is too.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it challenging.
DK Metcalf run two routes.
Yeah.
Is that Ole Miss?
Yeah. So, but good hands, 4 drops on 87 targets. And he has special catches, but if he catches the ball in the middle of the field, he hears those footsteps coming, I think, and he has, you know, that makes it his contested catch rate go down. It's still above average, and he has some such special ball skills that I think that I give him a little bit of leeway there, because he can absolutely catch the ball way outside his frame and make some very, you know, special downfield catches. Definitely really good physicality, and he's a guy that he has good vision. So if you get the ball in his hands, and maybe that's why they're putting him in the slot, is they're just trying to get him the ball to let him sort of work in open space, because he doesn't separate as good. And yeah, I feel like he's got some upside there. He only had 8 missed tackles forced, but I thought that he used what little bit of elusiveness he's got with his maybe breaking a few tackles, with that good vision to you get some yards after the catch. The speed is definitely good for this size. If there was two things I could change about him, if his hips weren't so daggone tight and he could separate on routes and had, you know, a more defined route tree, you're talking about a very complete wide receiver, and he would be up there with the top tiers of this class. So I guess I like him better than I think I do. But he's a top 10 receiver. I think he's very complete in a class that doesn't have this type of receiver. If he gets the draft capital, he's a very sneaky, sneaky second round pick that's going to, you know, produce pretty well. He could be a number one wide receiver on team.
Yeah. It's few and far between with these guys in this class then.
Yep.
He has the tools to be a number one receiver.
I still like Mims better. I like Mims. You like Mingo.
Except I think it's the Mims name that's
yeah,
me so down.
PTSD.
But I think it all comes down to Denzel Mims' 3 cone time then. The devil's you know, number 6.
The thing is, it's like I still think Denzel Mims is a really good player, and if he actually got somewhere that's not the New York Jets, I'd love to see what would happen. Best thing that could ever happen to him is get cut.
Yeah, how come Elijah Moore got out, but Denzel Mims didn't get out?
I don't know. He apparently didn't yell enough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So next on the list, Jalen Moreno Cropper out of Fresno State. He actually had the full name early in the season, and he went to just Cropper at the end of the season there.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what it is in the NFL. But 5'11", 172 pounds, so another water bug. 8 7/8-inch hands then, ran a 4.4 40, had 1.55 three cone drill. Or not, no, sorry, 1.55 10-yard split. 1.55 three cone drill would be elite beyond all belief then. But the flash out there. And his broad jump was a 10-foot 1-inch broad jump.
So 87th percentile 40, 49th percentile broad jump at his pro day. 32-inch vertical, 16th percentile. Three cone was 7.06, 39th percentile.
Yeah, and as far as production, was productive the past 3 years at Fresno State then, but in 2022 had 84 catches, 1,093 yards, 13.0 yards per catch, and then 5 touchdowns then. So I'll let you start off with Jalen Cropper.
I am not a fan.
You're not a fan.
No, I am not a fan.
I liked watching him.
He got a 62.
I gave him a 70.
So I can't wait. I was kind of hoping you would take him first, but because I could see if maybe there's some stuff I'm just missing, or just knocked him too hard on. But I don't think so, man. His release off the ball. So he's going to be a slot guy. He's definitely not physical enough to play outside. And his feet are just okay, and his speed off the ball is a little above average, but he's not a good route runner. He really struggles to separate against physical corners. The things that he does well as a route runner, and maybe I could bump him up a little bit for that. Maybe I should give him a 7, but I don't know. We'll see.
I give him a 7 as far as route runner.
I probably should give him a 7 there, but
he has decent routes and he changes speed actually very well.
Yeah, that's how he does it. He relies on route tempo and leverage to win, and that's okay. When you don't have that sort of elite quickness to get in and out of cuts, that's what you have to do, and that stuff translates. So that's okay. So I should give him a 7.
I thought he was very quick. I thought he had decent speed then too, but.
The top end speed I saw on film, like that's there, but I didn't see the quickness. The thing that doesn't make sense, and I put like why question mark or why exclamation point is 83% of his snaps were out wide in 2022, whereas 5% were out wide the year before. Why did they use him outside? Makes no sense to me why they didn't just let him operate in the slot, because it took away his best assets. Like, he didn't need to be out there getting pressed and physicaled up by these corners. He needed to be getting those free releases and being able to use some of that underneath stuff. Because a lot of times when you see them do that, it's because they have such elite ball skills. But this guy, you know, just like that vertical jump says, he's not a go up and get it ball, you know, go up and get the ball type of guy. He does not really win contested catches. Only 3 out of 12 in 2022 and 4 out of 12 in 2021. And I thought that, like, he could track the ball well. He had a few good highlight catches. But consistently, he was not a above-the-rim type of, you know, athlete. So he is a guy that can't separate slot receiver, that doesn't operate super well in the short and intermediate, and maybe has a little bit of speed to dominate down the field, but when you're not playing against Fresno State level competition, you're not going to do that at the next level. So they used him in multiple areas. Like, he got to use, you know, he got used on a lot on sweeps. They used him at quarterback. Like, he was their best, like, sort of athlete all around. And, like, he has good vision. He has some elusiveness. And that's why you see a lot of missed tackles forced, 19 missed tackles forced. But
he's fast. At
the next level, those skills aren't going to translate as good. So I gave him a 62. And the other thing I didn't mention was physicality. Like, I thought he, struggled to catch in contact. And I thought that he got pushed around on routes. He got pushed to the sideline, got pushed, you know. And so 62, man, I don't know that he might be a waiver target, maybe, but he's sort of, it's going to take a perfect spot for me to waiver him. I think he's probably off my board.
Yeah, I actually gave him decent scores then. I agree with you on contested catch, physicality. Those are his lowest marks then.
What was your number?
A 70.
Jeez.
Yep. I honestly see him in the same light as your boy, DeMario Douglas. I think he's...
except Douglas is like quick as a cat and cannot be touched. And
Tank Dell is also in that sort of that mold of the same guy.
Well, he's a poor man's DeMario Douglas, so that doesn't say much for him.
Tank Dell, I think Tank Dell's the elite guy of that group of those three then, but you're a DeMario Douglas guy. But I like Cropper then too. He made some very tough catches in the end zone in one of the games I was watching then. So he can get up there and get it then, but he's not... You can't rely on him for the contested catch. He's a very good adjusting the body well, great body control. I give him high marks as far as his speed, and I think you're downgrading him on his acceleration, his quickness. I think he gets down very well. He gets low to the ground, makes those quick cuts then. And I think he's good at separating then and getting space then and finding those holes in the zone then too. And he was the guy at Fresno State then, so he was Jake Haener's main target then. And people were eyeing him. And I saw good things in this film then. And I was impressed then. I thought he was a fun guy to watch then. So I think he's definitely better in the slot than he is outside then. But he can do some stuff out there as well then too. And it's a guy that I'm going to pay attention to. And like I said, I view him the same light as Douglas and Tank Dell, just based on their size and their build then. And then in their sort of smaller school competition that they've been playing then.
Yeah, I gotta stop beating up on these Fresno State people. We got too many Fresno State homers that
commenting on our stuff.
Yeah, I got some hate mail on the Jake Haener stuff, but
I like this guy. And then I actually, when I was watching Jake Haener's film again, like I said, there's good stuff there. But like I said, is he gonna be a top pro or a starting quarterback in the NFL? Probably not, but both these guys are ballers. So
I will give him a 7 on quickness. Like, I was on the fence there. I can give him a 7. I'll give him a little mini bump there. 63. Let's put him at a 63. He's a top 25 receiver in the class. There we go.
Oh man.
Done.
Yeah, you got to bump down to Mario Douglas a little bit, but
that's the thing. When you look at this whole class, I honestly see, like, in 4 years, only 5 or 6 of these people are going to be like, let's say 7. 7 of these people are like legit going to be on NFL rosters and contributing.
Yeah, it's
could it be that some of the top guys flame out and get bad spots? Sure. But
there is not enough spots in the NFL.
There's too many slot receivers for these guys to make it, and unfortunately, like, that just, it just stinks for those guys. You have these years where you have a lot of outside receivers, and you have these years where you have a lot of slot guys, and unfortunately, a lot of these guys just aren't going to make it. No room.
Yeah, it's going to be tough pickings in the NFL. So, yeah. So the non-film score is going to be very important as far as weeding some of these guys out then too.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in the future. So next up, Puka Nacua out of BYU. So every time I say this guy's name, I think of like Moana, and I think it should be like the pig is named Pua. I think it should be on the Moana soundtrack and dancing and singing songs and
you're in that boat, Disney state of mind, dude.
Well, no, I just yeah, you got small kids. 3 girls. we watch Moana a little bit. but Puka Nacua, BYU, originally at Washington for his first 2 years, came in at 6'2", 201. Yeah, and he didn't do anything at the combine. Do you have his pro day numbers?
Yeah, so he actually was up 9 pounds to 210 pounds, and he ran a 4.55 40, 35th percentile, 7.3 flat 3 cone, 7th percentile, 33-inch vertical, 26th percentile, and 121-inch broad jump, 49th percentile.
So he was eating the bacon then.
Yeah, not the best numbers as far as measurables, but.
And as far as production, best year was in 2021, but in 2022 he had 48 catches, 625 yards, 13 yards per catch, and 5 touchdowns. So should I start with Puka?
I like him.
Yeah, I like him. I expect him to hate him. We were debating about whether to cut him at all.
Yep.
From the show then. But he's solid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like he gets a decent score. So you got a 71 just based on being a solid player then. I as far as his top attributes, very good hands then. Had a 5.9% drop rate, 3 drops in the year. He's actually very good at contested catches then. Good ball tracking, good body control then. He's actually very good at adjusting to the ball and keeping that sort of his numbers facing the quarterback then. So he presents a very good target for the quarterback as well then too. And then I think he's a good physicality. He's good at hand fighting with the cornerbacks then. Things that he's not as great at. I don't think he has the best release then. He could have issues with press coverage in the NFL then. He's not the greatest after the catch then. He's out for something, but it's not special. He doesn't have the greatest quickness. In particular, he doesn't have the greatest acceleration then. His quickness is okay then. And his top speed is okay on the first and second levels. But he's on the things I saw, I think he's pretty ineffective with the deep ball then. So he's not going to be utilized in that aspect very much then too. So in short, like I said, he's a very solid player. He's one of the bigger guys in this class then. I'm not sure how effective he's going to be in fantasy, but he's going to get drafted. He's going to be on an NFL team then. And I comped him at like a – is he going to be like one of those guys that could sneak in, maybe play a week every other year on your fantasy
team?
Yeah,
he's a solid sort of wide receiver too on a team. Not dynasty team. I'm talking about an NFL team. So he's going to have those occasional.
I think he's a wide receiver. He's a solid wide receiver 3.
Well,
on a good years.
Like, I'm thinking upside.
I kind of Zach Pascal, like that kind of guy that you're going to see pop up on your waiver wire, and you can
yeah.
And when he's the wide receiver 2 on the team, wide receiver 1 when everyone else gets injured, you can trade him for a third or fourth round pick. Then, but
yep.
But like I said, I don't think he's going to be necessarily special. But I said I think he's a solid player that is going to help an NFL team.
Very complete receiver. So it just gets really good marks across the board. See, what number did you give him?
71.
71. So you got a 69 for me. I think he's this sort of possession wide receiver that has pretty good size. So he could line up pretty much anywhere and they could play him. But I was pretty impressed. Like, I thought he had really good feet, and he has good moves to beat press coverage. The only problem is he's so upright at times that it allows DBs to sort of redirect him and move him around some. So he's got to work on that, but that stuff's, you know, coachable. His route running is, he runs with such good leverage and speed variation. He is just, and he has a little bit of suddenness, and so he has really good, he creates pretty good separation. I thought that his initial cut is okay, but other cuts are more like sort of prolonged and not super crisp. And so some of that could just be he's got to work on his sort of route running. But I thought he operated underneath pretty well. And he has great hands. So three drops with 67 targets is really good. He had a good contested catch percentage and showed some good ball skills. Like, he has some really nice over-the-shoulder catches and can reach way back and get balls that are way outside his frame. So I thought he had an above-average catch radius. And he's physical enough. And the thing that's really nice is he has yak potential. So they used him in sweeps. They used him in the backfield at running back. And that's because he has such good vision.
Well, he wasn't good in that regard.
But it showed his, like, he could be sort of more dynamic. They just need to get him the ball in space. He breaks a few tackles. He has above average elusiveness. I thought he was okay there. His top end film speed, I thought he was way faster than 4.55. I thought he was probably more in the 4.49 range, maybe just barely sub 4.5. So I thought he had a little more speed, but some of that could be just because he uses his speed variation so well. His quickness, I thought, was, above average. He got a 69 for me. I thought he was way better than his pro day number showed. This is another one of those guys that I like. I think the film looks better than the numbers, just like Eric Gray's film looks better than the numbers. I really have to knock Eric Gray's, like, his speed scores and stuff down because his pro day was so bad. The running back out of Oklahoma. This is another one of those guys that trust what you're seeing with your eyes, because sometimes people just don't test well. And I think he's one of those guys. I think he just didn't test as well as he, you know, his athletic measurables are. So
69, actually a good class for him to come out in too.
Yeah, this is a great class for him to be in. A 69, puts him at, he's a good third round pick. In rookie drafts. So we'll see where he goes. I think he's a mid-round, sort of under-the-radar drafted receiver that you might get lucky on to be able to take a flyer on later in your drafts and get some production, maybe a spot start here and there.
Yes, Zach Pascal, spot start every once a year or once every 2 years for a week. Clock every roster. But you can trade him.
Yep.
That's what I do with Zach Pascal. So next on the list, Trey Palmer, out of Nebraska, then spent his first 3 years at LSU. So 6 foot, 192 pounds, 9 5/8 inch hands then, 4.33 40, 1.51 second 10-yard split.
So 96 percentile 40 at his pro day. Get ready for it. 7.133 cone, 23rd percentile, 29.5 inch vertical jump, 3rd percentile. 114-inch broad jump, 9th percentile.
Why did he do those?
I don't know. He should not have done anything other than run the 40. He could have run the 40 again. He hurt himself.
And, as far as production, wasn't overly productive at LSU, but great production at Nebraska in his 1 year. 71 catches, 1,043 yards, 14.7 yards per catch, and 9 touchdowns. And I think his pro day numbers show what you saw in the film then.
Absolutely. You wonder why a guy like this with legit speed left LSU. Well, here's your reason. Watch the tape. Give you 2 games and I bet you got an evaluation.
Yeah, he's explosive and he has wonderful acceleration. He's quick off the line.
Mm-hmm.
He creates space very easily, based on his speed, not because he's an excellent route runner by any means then. He varies his speed well, though. Higher drop rate, so 12.3% then. Not good at contested catches. Does not fight for the ball. Okay body control. Okay tracking. Not physical. Yards after catch, he can take any catch to the house then because he's yep. so his athleticism then and his speed. But he's very raw. Very raw. And like I said, he didn't seem like the greatest as far as his cuts or his quickness, and I think that mm-hmm. shows up on his pro day stuff then. But he was a 5-star recruit at LSU, and it's not like LSU had any great guys.
No, he should have been able to stand out.
Yeah. So I think he's an interesting guy. I think he's when you watch his if you just watch his highlight film, you'd be drafting him in the top mm-hmm. five because he blows past.
Yep.
Blows and, past quarterbacks or flat footed, especially safety and safeties. They have no chance then.
Yep.
And he's uber explosive, but like I said, is he going to offer much other than that then at the NFL level? That's the question.
And, you know, maybe there's some of this stuff that they can coach up and he can be a better pro than college guy. But, I mean, I pretty much saw the same thing that you saw. The things that are very bad is obviously the hands. Like, you can't drop 10 balls on 110 targets. That's a 13.8% career drop rate. You know, 18 drops over a span of a career. That's not good. And his route running is very, like, he has okay suddenness on some of his routes, but he just cannot operate underneath. So he's literally just a deep ball option. That's all he is. He doesn't have quick feet to beat the press. He needs a free release, and he doesn't have, the physicality really to be able to be handled. To handle DBs that are aggressive. So if you get an aggressive DB that has some speed in the NFL, they can press him and take away his advantage. So this guy's going to have to operate out of the slot. Or send him in motion and get him, running in space in order for him to be a big usage. And there's a place for that in the NFL. Like, you're going to see teams that he'll probably get drafted because of the speed. He'll probably be a fifth, sixth round pick. And I he's a guy that I'm going to avoid. I see nothing but speed. Everything else really concerns me. You see some okay ball skill stuff at times, plus catch radius for his size. But, I mean, he got a 60. So he was third from the bottom in the class. So I was hoping for more, and I didn't get it.
He's not off my board. I'm interested in him just for how explosive he is then. But it's another one of those guys that's going to take time. He's a taxi squad guy.
Yeah, he's definitely a taxi squad guy.
And you could snag him in that fifth round then, and then just place him there, sit him for a few years, and then see what happens then. But he ultimately could not even make a team.
Yep. And I don't think I could totally see him not making a team. I think the odds of him making a team are less than him making it. You put these guys in
there. Remember Merritt, that small Alabama A&M was?
Yeah, but Kirk Merritt was special, elusive, and he was athletically off the charts. Like, his numbers, his combine pro day numbers were elite. This guy's just fast.
Yeah, so. Well, his speed's elite. Yeah. But everyone's looking for fast guys in the NFL. But yeah, so the drops, the route running, the elusiveness, sort of change of direction, that could be the downfall here then. But definitely he's got the speed to spare.
Yep.
So next up on the list then, A.T. Perry out of Wake Forest, the Demon Deacon. So 6 foot, 3.5 inches, 198 pounds, 9 1/4 inch hands, 4.47 40, 35 inch vertical, 11 foot, 1 inch broad jump, and a 1.59 second 10 yard split.
I'm a little surprised by that 10-yard split.
That's slow.
Yeah, I'm really surprised by that. I'm going to go with he stumbled out of the block. 65th percentile 40, 50th percentile vertical jump, 96th percentile broad jump. No further testing at the pro day.
And his production, his best year was in 2021, had 71 catches, 1,293 yards, 18.5 yards per catch, 15 touchdowns. And then 2022 had 81 catches, 1,096 yards, 13.5 yards per catch, and 11 touchdowns then. So A.T. Perry, I'll let you start off with him.
So how are you going to run a 4.47 with that slow of a 10-yard split?
Like, speed.
Wow. I don't believe the 10-yard split. I think he's faster than that. Because I thought off the ball, he had really sort of – he had good speed. I thought he had – what's that?
I thought he was a slower release.
I thought he had really, really good feet, and he sheds DB's hands pretty good. I thought he had some of the best sort of moves to beat press, even though he's sort of a little bit thinner guy. I thought he at least had some moves and some technique. Maybe not the quickest off the ball, but I thought his speed was okay. His route running is definitely above average. I thought he breaks off routes pretty well. He toasted Florida State. That film, it looks like he's like legit elite route runner, because it's like he's just open every single time. And he has this, I don't know if it's he's trying to use speed variation, but he just doesn't always use it well. Because he just sort of has this sort of herky, jerky, inconsistent effort on his routes. But I think it allowed him to create some above average separation. And he has pretty good, he has overall good tempo and route leverage. So he had got good remarks. I thought he's a plush route runner. His hands are okay, a little above average, but he's a body catcher at times. And the thing that really concerns you with the hands is he's a late hands catcher. So he doesn't, the ball can get on him a little quick sometimes, and that's why he has to use his body. But he's got a 6'10" wingspan. Like, that's huge. I expected because of that him to be a little bit better in contested catches. But I thought he has some upside. Like, he was 11 out of 25, so 44%, in 2022. Because you see the ball tracking is very good. He adjusts super well to off-target throws, times the catch point really well. He's got some really nice over-the-shoulder catches. I thought physicality-wise, he was above average. And he's not like the most super elusive wide receiver, but he's more of a possession wide receiver, but he's a pretty doggone good one. Definitely got the build-up speed and can be a vertical threat. And I thought he was pretty quick in and out of cuts. He has sneaky speed. So he got a 72 and came in at number 13. So I like A.T. Perry.
I came away disappointed.
What was your score?
I had him at a 67. I bumped him up to 69 here just after hearing you talk.
Yeah, so I love the persuasion I got on you.
Well, I just...
You get to hear the numbers, and that helps
I killed him too much on ball tracking and body control compared to other guys. Yeah. I did him very early on.
He was the first wide receiver I scouted, so
yeah, I think he was the second wide receiver I scouted then, so I killed him too much on that, but so I adjusted it based on how I was adjusting on other guys then. But like I said, I didn't think he had a very good release. I thought he got jammed. I think he has just a slower release in general. I thought his route running... He rounds off his routes too much. Like, they're not crisp, they're not excellent cuts. But there's some other times when he can actually make good cuts, create separation. He has good speed variation at times then, too. Hands, he saw concentration drops, but he had a 9.1% drop rate, so not the greatest. I think he's contested catches. He high points the ball, back shoulder throws, uses his size then. He's a red zone target for sure. Then.
Absolutely.
15 touches. He had 26 touchdowns in the past 2 years. So
yeah, that's tops in his class. That's elite level stuff right there.
Yeah, and then I said I bumped him up from the ball track and body control. Physicality, I think he's very thin. He's not overly physical. Then his yak is decent. He shows potential, but it's not special. And I think he has a more of a long speed. I don't think he has the greatest acceleration or quickness. But he has decent feet then, so I think that helps him out then. I think he's a guy that's more raw than I would like then. I would expect him to like him better because, like I said, I really wanted one of these big guys to be the man then. So I think he's a guy that's going to take time to develop and see what he's really at then, but he's on my board. He's in that fourth cluster of guys then.
Yep. He's a guy that is going to, as long as he gets drafted and gets a nice spot, he is going to be a fantasy usable option because he's going to be such a good red zone target.
Or
jump ball guy.
Or is he going to be like Arcega Whiteside? Done. Yeah. Really gone. That's these are the things we see then. Like if we look at all the guys that we scouted over the years, then we see potential for them.
Where did Arcega Whiteside go to college?
He was at Stanford.
I knew it was Stanford. Don't draft a Stanford wide receiver. Just make that rule. No Stanford wide receivers.
Unless it's Andrew Luck at quarterback. You can take that guy.
Yeah,
but this guy's going to take time to see what he is.
Just
then,
wide receivers.
I'm not taking him high. I can tell you that then. I think it's more inconsistency in this game then.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's stuff there to like then, but we'll have to see where he ultimately pans out then. But yeah, his score's okay, but like I said, I was more disappointed based on what I thought I was going to see then. And I thought A.T. Perry sounded like a solid wide receiver's name too. So just name alone, I thought he was going to be a good receiver here. But and who's the guy? Was it last year or the year before? He may have sat out then. Sage Surratt then out of Wake Forest.
Yep.
Almost a similar guy then too. Like they're
somewhat similar, I guess.
Yeah. I think this guy's a little bit more athletic than Sage Surratt, but around the same area. But let's move on to the next guy and final guy of the third show here. So Jaden Reed out of Michigan State. First year was at Western Michigan then, and took off a year in 2019 then. So and then played 3 years at Michigan State. So an older guy then. I don't have the exact age here. But comes in at 5'11", 187 pounds, 9 1/8 inch hands then. A 4.45 40, 33.5-inch vertical, a 1.57 10-yard split, and a 10-foot, 1-inch broad jump.
So 72nd percentile 40, 33rd percentile vertical jump, 49th percentile broad jump, no further testing at the pro day.
Yeah, and his best year was in 2021, 59 catches, 1,026 yards, 17.4 yards per catch, and 10 touchdowns. And then 2022 had 55 catches, 639 yards or 36 yards, 11.6 yards per catch, and 5 touchdowns.
Man, did that production drop off? I need you to convince me of Jaden Reed. Like he got a good score, but I need something.
I think he's in the lines that I saw Puka.
See, that's the problem. They're almost the same score for me, but Lord, like Jaden is.
He and Puka are.
Jaden Reed has so much hype from last year to, like, I was so surprised he didn't come out last year. And he didn't pick a good class to come out in. Tell me.
He can play inside and out, so he can do both of those then. Mm-hmm. He has a good release, he has good feet, uses his hands well. Route running, there's some tightness that you're seeing. Not the hips are not the greatest then. He needs better separation on some of his routes then. Hands are okay, 8.3% drop rate. You see concentration drops at times, but other times you see him plucking the ball very well. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got the hands to be a very good receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem very natural. So I like that. He's very good at contested catches. He's good at ball tracking, good body control, physicality. He's a willing guy. You don't see much as far as yards after the catch then. He has some juice, some wiggle, but he's not going to be a huge guy in that regard that you see from some of those guys in the class. And I think he has decent speed. He has decent acceleration. And he got a 70 for me, so very similar to Puka's 71 then. Mm-hmm. He also had 3 punt returns and a touchdown, so he has that in his arsenal of things then too. So I put him as a well-rounded professional wide receiver. But he's probably going to end up being a wide receiver 3, 4, wide receiver 2 on his team in a good year.
Yeah.
So it's was there any injuries in 2022 compared to 2021? Like I didn't
see anything. I have to always go back and like fine tooth comb their injury history But I don't have anything on my radar right now. So you got 70,
the numbers were a lot more explosive in 2021 then, but
yep, you said 70?
70.
72. So I gave him a 72. So pretty much saw identical stuff to what you saw. I see a guy that, you know, good speed off the ball. He physical corners can sort of make it a little bit difficult on him, but above average release. His route running is just inconsistent. That is what you see. Some routes are super crisp and others just aren't. His number of routes that he runs is okay. Like he has an okay route tree, but just inconsistent. Same thing with his hands. They're loud at times. They're just inconsistent. So 5 drops on 50 or 84 targets. And then the year before he had 6 drops on 101 targets. So just inconsistency. Contested catch, ball skills, special stuff. Like 11 out of 17, almost 65% for contested catches in 2022. Mm-hmm. 51.9% in 2021. He was 14 out of 27. He makes really tough catches in traffic. He is a winner on high point in the ball and jump balls. And he plays above his size. Good physicality. He's a physical route runner. Very sort of feisty in that regard. And his catch radius is pretty good. At catching balls outside the frame. His yards after the catch is really good, and that's why you see him being a good returner. He has really, really good vision. He can make a few miss, and he's physical after the catch, but he's that really good one cut and go, sort of like Cordarrelle Patterson, one cut and go, get up the field type of guy. And the top end film speed is good, and his change of direction speed is a little above average. So, like, I like him. I think he's a better pro than college guy, but I mean, I'm just afraid with all the hype from before that it's still there and he's going to end up being like an early second round pick. And I don't got him there. Like he's mid to late second round pick in a good spot. And it's just because there's so many good slot receivers. Like he's got the ball skills to be able to play outside some, which is good because that's where Michigan State played him mostly. But he's just going to be a wide receiver too that's solid, and there's going to be a lot of other people in the league that's just better athletically than him. So
I would like to have him on my football team.
Yeah, great football player.
Yeah.
Great football player.
He's, but, like I said, very, very solid. Very solid.
It's tough to get the ball skills to translate when you're an undersized guy with those ball skills. It's just that's the one thing that just doesn't translate as good to the NFL.
Yeah, because everybody's a bigger guy in this class.
Yeah,
he's 5'11", 187. Then, but
yep.
And I didn't see that the yak stuff on the film I watched. Then was he better after that the catch then? Because he didn't.
Yeah, he was just
so much. When I
it's games not I, it's not elusiveness. He breaks a few, but it's just the vision. Like he's a running back with the ball in his hands. He's got that sort of one cut, set up blocks, get up the field, just like you're catching a punt return. That's what he offers. So you can get him some work sort of in the screen game and stuff, sweeps and get him the ball. It'll be interesting, the landing spot. Like I could see him being drafted in like the third round. And that's, if he gets a good landing spot, can bring him up. But he needs somewhere that's going to give him sort of immediate production. And like, you don't want anybody to go to a bad quarterback landing spot. But if you went somewhere where they just utilized him a lot on sort of sweeps and getting the ball in his hands, he would do better from a fantasy standpoint. So, I like him. Obviously my score is pretty good, but, but he's not a standalone complete guy.
Yeah, like I said, I like him. I think his upside is a solid NFL wide receiver 2 that could sneak into the wide receiver 3 fantasy.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the league quite a few years, but I don't think that he's going to be the big fantasy guy.
Yeah, the absolute elite would be like almost like a Robert Woods type player, but like I said,
Woods is a better route runner. And
well, yeah. Like I said, all these guys coming out of college are not great route runners. There's a lot of fine tuning, a lot of things they have to develop into. But So that is show 3 of 4.
Yep. Almost got them done, man.
Almost. Uno mas. Uno
good,
mas.
Good guys. Good sleepers in this last show here. I feel like there's some guys that are going to...
Keep an eye on Mingo.
Yeah.
Keep
an eye on Mingo. Be surprising. Be surprising for the draft. So
Scotty likes Mims.
I like Mims
too, but yeah. Yep. I'm more of a Mingo guy. He's more of a Mims guy, but we score them the same.
Yep, pretty much.
Yep. So, but yep, check out the YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe on Apple iTunes then as well then too. Leave good reviews. Look at the videos as well and then see how you feel about these guys also. Because you make them feel differently. And we're just offering suggestions, not definitive points then.
Yep. And we don't
as always,
we don't watch one game and make an assessment. We don't watch two games and make an assessment. Like
we don't watch
for
the
most of these
an
guys, and we don't watch highlights and make assessments. Like we're watching 6+ film, especially for wide receivers. We're probably watching more because I will go watch sort of the all 22 film, which yeah, I can't cut up and put up.
You have to watch all 22.
But if anybody wants to get their hands on some all 22 film to watch, I can tell you where my source is. But I'm not going to post that stuff. There's some legal issues with that, but there's a really good source that gives you, and it really helps with route running and a lot of getting a good overview of some of these prospects. But I mean, we're probably watching 6 to 8 films at least on every prospect once you mix in the all 22 stuff. So I feel like we watch pretty much most of their games. I feel like I know these guys about as good as the top scouts. So.
Yeah, hence the film fatigue.
Yeah, hence the film fatigue.
I'm glad we don't do defensive players. Because...
Yeah, no, I have no interest in doing any more than these four positions.
No IDP.
No IDP for me. Yep.
Well, that's all we got for you. So this is Joseph Adrian signing off.
And this is Scott Martin, and you just listened to the Dynasty Interview Fantasy Football Podcast.